If you work for a living, why do you kill yourself working?
Sometimes controversial, always interesting. Coming to you from the Pacific Northwest, USA, it's the Ernest Mann Show.
Hello, folks. My name is Ernest. Thank you for being here. Before I get going into this episode, I'm not intending to be critical just for the sake of being critical. As a matter of fact, it is intended to be helpful, specifically to my relatives from across the pond. Although what I'm about to say is not necessarily specific just to the UK. It's for ordinary people anywhere. So if your country is going to hell in a handbasket, please listen to the end. I can't give you money, but plenty of food for thought. Day in and day out, I am besieged by headlines and videos of how the US and other countries are going to hell in a handbasket. And I believe that certainly, for the most part, it's true. But because I don't have the audacity to make hour and a half videos speculating on whether or not Adolf Hitler had only one ball, or if nihilism is mankind's answer to all their fucking problems, I decided to make it short and sweet and talk about practical, urgent problems in the UK. Now, I chose to talk about the UK in particular, as I see the UK as the proverbial canary in the coal mine. And if the UK can't get its shit together, it's very bad news for the future of any and all Western democracies. And dare I say, civilization itself. I am not exaggerating. I mean exactly what I say. This ultimately comes down to the old adage of not seeing the forest for the trees. Please allow me to introduce you to the forest. But very briefly, before I go into that pleasant stroll through the forest, if you're enjoying this episode, please subscribe and hit that notification bell so you won't miss an episode. And because the more subscriptions I get, the more people get to hear what they won't hear anywhere else. Now, I've watched quite a few videos from people in the UK. I believe they are well-meaning. But generally speaking, what most of them lack is clarity concerning the causes of their problems, let alone any viable and practical solutions.
The NHS has become terrible. Some hospitals can't even afford basic maintenance, peeling paint and leaking roofs.
Yes, and?
Rent prices for even the shittiest flats are very expensive. People often having to double up in a studio.
Yes, and?
There are no jobs that pay a living wage. What few jobs there are all taken up by the asylum seekers. Mm.
Three quick, unsolicited, yet true answers. Your governmental representatives, regardless of so-called party affiliation, are plutocrats on the payroll of oligarchs, corporate big business interest, and despite anything they may say other than your potential to be exploited to maximize greater profit, they don't give a fuck about you in any way, shape, or form. It's feudalism reborn, known as feudo-capitalism. So as a consequence, they don't give a fuck about the NHS. They don't give a fuck about your rent prices. And as far as jobs, paying a living wage? No, they don't give a fuck about that either. Especially when they have all those asylum seekers more than happy to work for total shit wages to maximize their profit. And way back when your government started importing these tens of thousands of asylum seekers, You actually fell for the bullshit that the government simply couldn't find enough workers? Excuse me. Couldn't help but fall out of my chair laughing. You totally fell for that governmental / big business PR masterpiece. They opened the floodgates to those poor, impoverished, oppressed people as your fucking job replacements. And you didn't see that coming? Now, Britain had for many years been famous throughout history for having the world's finest navy. So if I were to use your ship, HMS Victory, as a metaphor for contemporary Britain, I would say, to use an old nautical term, she's full of water up to the gunwales. Of course, this huge social and economic shitstorm that you're now having to endure didn't happen overnight. It takes years, sometimes decades, for great nations or even civilizations to collapse. But in the case of the UK, the seeds were sown and the explosive charges set when you allowed Satan's harlot to take residence at 10 Downing Street, Margaret Thatcher. I could go on forever, but I won't. I'll simply offer you necessarily oblique answers of what must be done. But I'm also bearing in mind that I am battling the V'ger effect. And in case you don't know what the V'ger effect is, it refers to when an idea or solution is given to a problem, but regardless of how rational, thought out, and well-planned the idea is, it's completely ignored. Because the ideas are so foreign and or radical to the person receiving the message, whose thinking is totally confined and immersed into the current paradigm, they feel compelled to ignore or reject it. Yet once again, here I go into the breach. So think about this. In the past, say, at least 10 years ago or more, depending on your age, before anything had hit the critical stage as it is now, in your once civil and beautiful country, when things started becoming push comes to shove, as they did when the Dragon Lady became your prime minister and demanded that, quote, "We must all tighten our belts, we must all sacrifice, we must all do our duty," unquote. Which is tyrant speak for, "We're going to take back everything you earned and everything you voted for, you worthless piece of shit peasants." When you heard of Satan's concubine's plans, what did you do? Now remember, I was around back then, and my memory is still pretty good, and I know I would absolutely remember if Britain's citizens would have blown up Parliament, or thousands of Brits had been pissing on the door of 10 Downing Street, or seizing the stolen funds from MPs and all British big business criminals. Yep, I would have definitely remembered that, but for the life of me, I'm simply not remembering any of that. What I do remember were mass rallies with signs, lots of fucking signs. Yes, just to demonstrate that even when Brits, famously known for their calm demeanor and stiff upper lip, are collectively being kicked square in the nuts by a thieving and tyrannical government, they are, in fact, capable of violence. In one particular case, I believe it might have been around 1986, I watched in absolute horror a spectacle of such incomparable violence that it has an official historical title, the Brits Acting Extremely Badly Incident, London, 1986. Yes, I remember quite clearly. I was at a local watering hole talking to an old friend sitting next to me having a beer, when all at once there was all this excitement over the television. Several guys calling out, "What the hell?" Then uncontrollable laughter. I looked up at the TV and I saw hundreds of people carrying signs, many different messages, but all of them were clearly not happy with Thatcher. But that was only a precursor to the tremendous violence which was about to ensue. At some point, almost on cue, all of the protesters converged on one area and threw their signs into the middle of a blaze. Then I watched in horror as protesters dragged two tires into the flames. And if that wasn't enough, a huge group of protesters actually rocked a police car back and forth until, eventually, it flipped over. Up until that point in my life, I had never witnessed such defiance, such indescribable courage in shutting down and casting out a creature whose only purpose of existence was to dispense absolute tyranny, impoverishment, and indentured servitude on its citizens. Wait a minute. Thatcher remained in office until November of 1990. I was thinking of her lover, Ronald Reagan. Sorry. Well, I hope that this episode hit the perfect trifecta of informative, instructive, and entertaining. And if you'll excuse me, I'm going to have a well-deserved pint of Guinness. Until next time, this is Ernest, and that's all I've got for today.